In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's hard to know what to do when the music isn't playing. As you are well aware, we are in Advent. We are in the third week of Advent, as a matter of fact, and we know Advent to be a penitential season, although shorter than Lent. It does share one thing in common. In the midst of it, we get a day that is a little bit lighter than the other days. That is this Sunday. So in the midst of this time of preparing our preparation for the coming of Jesus, the remembering of his birth, but the real preparation is for his second coming, which is often filled with seeking forgiveness and penitence, we have this Sunday, which is in Latin, and you'll excuse my pronunciation, Gaudete Sunday, which is rejoice, which we just heard from Miss Al. We have this opportunity in the midst of this penitential season to remember in our preparation who we are preparing to come in contact with. And it's important to do that. Otherwise, if you're like me, you go into a penitential season, you can fall into the sins of our lives, and I could spend literally a lifetime there. So it's good to have a little bit of letting up. And we get the understanding of this through our readings, beginning with our collect for today. It starts out giving us some hint as the ways in which we could begin to rejoice. And it says, stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. What a wonderful prayer. I'm thinking I should probably pray that every morning. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. What a wonderful way to begin this day of rejoicing in the midst of Advent in our time of preparation, and then moving into hearing what is happening in the gospel according to John. We begin this with this little intro of who John is, verses 6 through 8. Of chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And then the lectionary jumps ahead all the way to verse 19 of chapter 1, where we begin to hear this. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he does a very interesting thing in the midst of this. They ask him who he is, and he tells them who he's not. They say, who are you? He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they continued to ask, well, who are you, Elijah? Are you the prophet? He's like, no. And then he finally says, I'm the one that Isaiah spoke about, the one crying out in the wilderness, telling you, prepare the way. And he says something else very interesting, all the way down, almost to the end of our reading today. He adds this, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know. The one who is coming after me, I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. See, John the Baptist knows who he isn't. And the other thing he knows is who Jesus is. Amen? And he knows in this call that has been placed on him and that he is living out the words given by the prophet Isaiah, that he is the one telling every other one to prepare. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. And he does it in such a way that he makes it very, very clear to anyone who is listening, it's not him. What a wonderful example for each and every one of us to know who we aren't and who Jesus is, amen? And then we have to ask ourselves, how do I get to that place? How can I get to a place of being able to feel that strongly? And I would say there's another really wonderful thing that happens in our readings today, and it's about our reading from the prophet Isaiah. And this portion of this writing of Isaiah is all about the good news of deliverance. I know that because it says so right there in bold print. The good news of deliverance. See, if we're truly going to know what it means to be like John the Baptist and be able to testify to the very presence of God, we have to actually know the very presence of God. If we are going to come to the understanding of the fullness of what can happen within our lives through the redemption and deliverance from those things of our lives that are not of God, we have to actually allow God to deliver us, amen? And then, brothers and sisters, we can become more the people that God's created us to be, doing the work he's called us to do. It's an interesting thing that's been happening this season of COVID. I have received more electronic surveys than I even imagined would be possible. Everybody's sending them out, including us to you. Amen? Well, you have to ask, why do we do that? Well, we do that because nobody's around. We don't get to sit around and talk about how people are doing, what's going on, where's your life, how should we? And as leadership of the church, right, we have to have some idea of a direction to help move God's people. So I received yet another survey this week. It wasn't from Holy Innocent, so if you didn't get it, don't panic. It was from the bigger church. And they wanted to, they were asking questions because they're trying to figure themselves out too. Right? And I get it, so I want to be helpful because there's nothing worse than sending out a survey and have nobody respond. Because then you don't know what to do, and then you don't know if they don't know that you don't know what you're doing. So you're just trying to do your best. So I want to help. And the only thing I can say is I'm so grateful that most of the questions, the very last option you could pick was other. And then you could type things in. Because their questions didn't make sense to me. They were concerned about doing ministry in this time and in this season of our society, not just COVID, which I appreciate and I think that's important. But they used a term that was confusing to me. They used this term and they wanted to know what was hindering. So they naturally had assumed that we were hindered. What of these things are hindering you from doing innovative ministry? So I had to look at my wife and I said, I don't know what innovative ministry is. And since I was in the middle of filling the thing out, I said, look up the word. Maybe I don't understand it. Sometimes it's the simple words that I just miss. So she looked it up. I'm like, no, that's exactly what I thought it was. And I thought to myself, we don't need innovative ministry, brothers and sisters. What we need is motivated ministry. We need to know what moves us to do ministry. Innovative, that sounds lovely and trendy, but what does it really mean? That means we're trying to go out there and find some way to make Jesus palatable to the world. Well, here it is, brothers and sisters, he's not. He just isn't palatable to the world. He causes trouble. Amen? He caused trouble when he came onto the earth. He caused trouble undoubtedly growing up, at least one story for his parents, didn't he? He caused trouble as he began his ministry, caused trouble with his mother when she tried to push him into doing his ministry. He caused trouble everywhere he went because he didn't adhere to our understanding of what was going to happen next. And guess what? He has caused trouble in my life. I don't know if that's true for you, but I had a plan. I had a plan, and this isn't it. Thanks be to God, because my plan was terrible in comparison, but it causes trouble. It just does. He warns us in his scripture. He warns us. He tells us in his teachings, it's going to be trouble. It's going to break up families. You follow me, you're in trouble. It's going to be a problem. Oh, by the way, if you truly want to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. He doesn't say anything about, hey, get on board the gravy train. Does he? Now, so how do we do that? We have to gain understanding, don't we? And that's the beauty of what we hear from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's a lot of work right there, isn't it? So I don't need to be innovative to do that. I need to be motivated to do that work. Amen? So here we are at this third Sunday of Advent, and we're here to rejoice. And our readings are rejoicing and telling us the good news of deliverance from God and all of the other pieces in there. John the Baptist doing his work, calling ahead, letting people make straight the way for the Lord who's coming, letting us know that he is among us. And we need to be motivated to recognize it, to recognize it, to live into it, to allow it to be true for us. Now, the two words we've been using this morning that don't usually come up in the Episcopal Church, deliverance and testimony, amen? Well, brothers and sisters, if it wasn't for deliverance, I couldn't be standing here in front of you giving this testimony to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen? Because it's the deliverance he brought to me from my sin and my broken life, and we'll go into details another time, but especially not live, my goodness. But the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't for a time of finally falling on our faces before God and recognizing our brokenness and a need for a Messiah, a Savior, there would be no need for one, amen? That's where the testimony comes from. See, John the Baptist could give testimony to Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah, because he knew him. He knew him. He knew who Jesus is. If we don't know that, it is hard to testify to it, isn't it? I mean, there are some traditions in our Christian faith. I could say somebody testify and somebody'd get up and say something, wouldn't they? Wow, how glorious would that be? And frightening at the same time. But you know what? Jesus is like that. So I would say this, brothers and sisters, listen to this good news of deliverance. If you yourself have not been delivered, if you do not understand these words that they are for you, read them again. It doesn't matter what your things are. I assure you, in some way, this world has affected you. And you could probably use a little help from God, am I right? I am right. Whether you know it or not, I'm just sure of it this time. So here we are, we want to rejoice in that. We want to rejoice in that which God has done for us through Jesus Christ, through the very body and blood poured out so that we could be saved, primarily from ourselves, in this broken, damaged world, that there we could discover there's another way. But not only is there another way, but there's another call that comes on our lives when we come to know Jesus. There is an opportunity for us to testify to his presence among us. In fact, I would say, if you have come to a place in your life where you understand what it means to have received deliverance through the power of God, how can you not testify? I think we're having deliverance over there in the family room. But brothers and sisters, as I came trying to prepare for this Sunday, I wanted you to know that there's so much to rejoice in, and I know you know that. I can tell you you're sinful, but I know you know that too. And so does God. I kind of look at today and I think, well, you know, we're getting there. We're in this time of Advent, or as the rest of the world sees it, preparation for Christmas. And there's a lot happening around us. Whether it be some of the usual things or some of the now unusual things things that we wanted to do that we can't, things that we still have to do but don't know how in a situation. There's a lot happening. And then, of course, we're in Advent, and we're being reminded weekly of our sinfulness. Well, today we get to put on the pink candle. It's a little lighter than the purple. If we were good, solid Anglo-Catholics, I'd be wearing pink vestments. But as I told them at the early service, the blue goes so much better with my eyes. But the fact is, it's evident to us in our reading, it is evident to us in our traditions, it's evident to us in our liturgy that there is much to rejoice about. Rejoicing in the Lord. Discovering the joy that comes when we walk into the darkness and then the light comes into our own darkness. And if that has happened for you, be like John the Baptist, testify to it. Give your testimony to the world, because there are others out there walking in their own darkness and they don't know where the light is. See, our job is to point to the light. We carry the light. On rare occasions, I suspect the light comes through us, but it's not us. It's not us, it's Him. And everything we do, everything we say, every opportunity put before us is an opportunity to testify to the very presence of God in this world, in our lives, and then tell the other who is still maybe lost in their darkness that they too can come into this light. This deliverance that is spoken of in Isaiah, God gives it, amen? God gives this deliverance. The question is, do you want it? I'll take that as a maybe. Do you want it?
Yes.
Do you have it?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's better. I caught them off guard at 8 o'clock. They're like, I don't know. But it was early. I mean, I get it. And who wants me yelling at you first thing in the morning? Good grief. But it's here. The deliverance is ours. The opportunity is ours. The time to rejoice is now. And brothers and sisters, if you have been delivered from your sin and your darkness, and you have seen the light come into your life, testify. 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 We don't need innovation. We need motivation. Amen.